But I certainly thank the Lord for, again, the opportunity to preach here at COBA. I want to say before I get started how appreciative I am of every single message that's been preached. I've heard all of them. They've all spoken to my heart personally. And I believe I'm a better Christian tonight on Wednesday than I was on Sunday morning. So I thank the Lord for that and all the work that's gone into it. I want to thank the Lord for my wife. I could not begin to say enough about my wife. I thank the Lord. I know that God made her for me. And she has been supportive many, many, many early mornings. I've gotten up and rushed to the airport and kissed her goodbye. And she woke up about 3 hours later and said, "Did you kiss me goodbye?" I said, "It better have been me." Who else kissed you goodbye? But anyway, kissed him goodbye. But anyway, of course, we got married on a Saturday and left for a honeymoon on a Monday, came back the next Tuesday, got on a plane the next Thursday, traveled all over the country. And I was preaching 65 meetings a year. Kevin, our son, he had flown 200 times by the time he was two. So we were 2 days back from honeymoon. We hit the road and then started having kids. One kid and two kids and three kids. She said, "You on your own, bucko." And so we were pushing strollers and taking suitcases. And I trying to take golf clubs. She said, "Oh, no, you're not. I'm taking golf. You better carry this stroller." And I said, I am the man in this house, and I'll leave the golf clubs home." good night. I just don't have enough time. I could preach my whole message on my wife and the blessing she's been to me and raising our children this year. She's going to be homeschooling our children for the first time, and we're excited about that. Give us a chance to travel some together, and I certainly thank the Lord. I could say a lot about Bethany. She loves the Lord. She loves me, she loves people, she loves Crossroads Baptist Church. She told me, "Don't volunteer me anymore for any ladies' conferences." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, I want to spend the rest of my life standing behind you and speaking to the ladies of Crossroads. And I said, that's the only thing I want to do, and I respect that. She's been a great blessing. She works a lot behind the scenes, ministers to our ladies, prays with them, visits them, counsels them, loves on them. And of course, we've taken four boys into our home, which is a tremendous step for a wife to do. And she's loved them like her own children and like her own sons and been just a tremendous blessing. If I died and came back, I'd marry her all over again. She's been so good. And every single thing that I've done for the glory of God, she deserves the credit for. I certainly thank the Lord for it. Tremendous blessing. I can't say enough about my parents. I am who I am by the grace of God. My parents raised me right, taught me the truth. They lived out the gospel in front of me. They were transparent. They were genuine. They were real. And it gave me a love, not just for God, but for ministry. Thank the Lord for it. My mom, God's healed her 3 times of cancer. Dad, been faithful. Great example of a man, of a father, of a grandfather, of a Christian, of a pastor. And they're still supporting me to this day, and I thank the Lord for it. Of course, my brother, my sister, Dee Dee, she gets kind of left out sometimes being mentioned, but Dee Dee is a hard worker. She runs our daycare, and Dee Dee is just involved in just about everything at this church. She leaves the choir, goes to the children's choir. She and her husband head up children's church. She works in the deaf ministry. She works with the daycare. She helps out just every aspect. And her husband, Lou, I don't know what he does. No, I'm just kidding. He's a blessing. Lou's a blessing and just been such an encouragement to our family. His parents are here tonight. We love you, Ernest and Sylvia. We certainly appreciate you raising your son for our family. And Mike and Laura, we just have a good bond as a family, and I thank the Lord for it. My precious children, my 4 little ones, 4 big ones, all 4 of those young men are called to preach. And God gave us the sons. They're serving the Lord. Deontay's down at Pensacola. Came to COBA last year and was majoring in criminal justice, got the youth conference, went back, changed it to pastoral studies. And he'll be in school a little bit longer, but he'll graduate doing what God wants him to do. And we thank the Lord for it. And I'm just So blessed. I'm living a dream. My youth pastor's here tonight, Brother Sebrel, Mrs. Sebrel. I appreciate all of you. These Coba men are my friends. They are my friends. I love them. I pray for you regularly. Thank God for the opportunity to serve with you and to serve you. And I'm just so blessed about what God is doing. And I cannot say enough about Crossroads Baptist Church. I love Crossroads Baptist Church. I live and breathe this ministry, these people. And we have some good folk, Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm talking about some good, I'm talking about some 52-week year tithers. And I'm talking about soul winners and people here late in the wee hours of the night. We just finished our missions conference, and this group of people committed nearly $380,000 for worldwide evangelization. We have single girls in this church who are giving $500 a week to missions. And nobody knows it but a few of us. Faithful. And I'm blessed to pastor Crossroads Baptist Church. I hope God lets me do it for the rest of my life. I start packing to go places, and I get homesick before I leave. I just love being here, so I've just made a commitment. I think I've missed about 2 Sundays in 20 years. And I love being here and cut out Wednesdays here, miss about 3 Wednesdays a year. But I just love standing in this pulpit. And we have church members that are blessing to their pastor. They cook for me, and they send me cards, and they send me texts, and they pray for me at 2 or 3 in the morning. And they love on my family while I'm gone. And I just want to thank the Lord for it. I am so blessed. And I want to say to this church, I do love you. And I thank the Lord that God lets me live this dream. And I want these young boys, I want them to know that there's nothing better than serving the Lord. And I don't just want to tell them, I want to show them. And I've had the privilege of traveling with a number of them. They've been with me and getting to talk to them and just stay in a hotel room with them, listen to them talk down the road and see what God is doing. And a lot of these sons of these preachers, I get calls from them, and they talk about sermons and preaching and what they're doing. This is, man, if this ain't it, I don't know what is. This is a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. And I'm thankful for all of you that are here. We love you. And you preachers, Dr. Clayton, Dr. Halsey, and all of you in the building, thank you for living for the Lord, and thank you for being here tonight. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do through the preaching of the Word of God. I want you to pray for my mother-in-law. She's not feeling well, and I trust that God will raise her up and heal her. Her name is Jean Burr. She's a pastor's wife in Atlanta, Georgia. And I want every one of you to commit to pray for her if you can regularly. She needs a touch from the Lord, and we believe God can give it. And if she's listening in tonight, I want you to know I love you, Nana, and thank God for you. And I trust God to give you a special measure of grace tonight. Leviticus chapter number 10, if you would, for the preaching of the Word of God. The 10th chapter, the book of Leviticus. I'm going to try not to relitigate everything that's been preached. There's so much that's been said that I don't have to re-say. But I do want to say what God wants me to say. I was a busy boy when I was growing up. He said a few moments ago, he got back from school. Whoever said amen, you just added 15 minutes to the message, all right? I really was. I'm still busy. It takes me a while to fall asleep, and I wake up every morning about 5 o'clock. I can't sleep long. And my mind is always racing and wandering. I'm all over the building. I tell our security people around here, I said, if somebody crazy walks in the building, I'm going to tell you where to shoot. They all into the service, and I'm looking around, see what's going on, and I got so much energy in me. But I was a busy boy. I was mischievous. I was into everything and run around everywhere and all over the building. But I always had a respect for God and for the Word of God, and it's kept me straight. It really has. It's kept me straight, and I thank the Lord for it. And I never want to lose that fear of God and His Word. And I trust that God will continue to give us all that. As we read from the book of Leviticus chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. They died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, I pray now that you would take me as your vessel. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, we could go home now having received enough from what's been preached to live a victorious Christian life. But for some reason, you've ordained for me to preach this message. And if you tarry, you're coming. I plan to do just that. Restrict me from saying that which I should not say, and compel me to say that which I must. I pray that you would be lifted up, glorified, and magnified in this place. Bind the devil. Keep him from interfering. He's a defeated foe that knows that he hath but a short time. He loves disrupting services. So because of the blood of Jesus, we're just going to claim the victory and press on. We want the church to be the church. And help us to do just that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The book of Leviticus is a great book in the Word of God. I do remind you that those books in the Bible that don't qualify as easy reads are still books in the Bible, inspired by God, infallible and inerrant, and all scriptures profitable. Amen. Leviticus is profitable for us. You'll remember at the conclusion of the book of Exodus, the construction of the tabernacle took place according to God's instructions. And then after it was constructed, the filling of the tabernacle took place and the glory of God was demonstrated. Can I tell you, nothing that the world produces could match the glory of Almighty God. Leviticus continues by giving the order and the rules of worship in the tabernacle. The first chapter and the first verse, God has moved to the tabernacle. He's no longer speaking from Mount Sinai. Here he's calling his people to the tabernacle to meet with him. There's nothing wrong with God telling his people to come to a certain place to meet with him. Leviticus is God's telling them how to come to him and how to walk before him. Leviticus undoubtedly is a book about worship. Let me say that again. A book about worship. Somebody said worship is to make obeisance to God. It is to fawn before God. Strong says it is to appreciate God like a dog licking the hand of his master. Just a couple months ago, I buried my 13 and a half year old Rottweiler in the backyard. It was a tough thing to do, but I can remember many a day coming home from work and that dog would run to the door with his big tongue sticking out, licking my hand. Why? His master was in the house and nothing else mattered. Worship is running to God like a dog running to his master, saying, nobody else matters. The master is in the house. It's a book of worship, emphasizing three things. The first, sacrifice. All of the animals, the sacrifices that God instructed them to make, they were important. God wanted his people to understand, clearly understand, that worship costs. I said worship costs. Worship isn't cheap. Worship isn't free. Everybody wants to give God something they don't want. Worship means giving God your best. Abraham, it cost him. Abel, it cost him. And anybody that's ever truly worshiped God, it costs them. Amen. Not only is it about sacrifice, it's about atonement. 45 times this word atonement, which literally means to cover up, the blood of bulls and goats, didn't actually take away sins. It covered sin until Jesus came. Jesus didn't just come to cover. Jesus came to cleanse us of our sins. Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood which makes an atonement for your souls. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That great chapter, chapter 16, emphasizing the great day of atonement. You see a great picture of Christ's sacrifice. The high priest would take a bullock for himself and his family. He would take two goats. One died and one would serve as a scapegoat. He would take that blood, sprinkle it on the mercy seat, put it on the horns of the altar, then take that live goat, lay both of his hands on that goat, send him out in the woods, confess those sins, as if to say, once he was gone, their sins were gone. I'm glad when Jesus saved me, my sins and iniquities, he remembers no more. Amen. The third thing in Leviticus is holiness. Holiness. If you say amen to the first two, you might as well join on the third. Atonement's mentioned 45 times, but holiness is, and holy is mentioned 91 times. It means that which is set apart. It's marked off. It's different. I said it's set apart. It's marked off. It's different. Leviticus 11:44, God is holy. And he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Eight times in the Bible, the Sabbath is supposed to be holy. Exodus 16, the priests were supposed to be holy. Leviticus 2, their garments were supposed to be holy. The tithe was supposed to be holy. Everything that involved God was supposed to be holy. So in the first seven chapters, God deals with holy offerings. In chapter 8, the priests are consecrated. Commandments are given to them. In chapter 9, they offer initial offerings. Aaron blesses the people. God sends down fire from heaven. His glory shows up. He consumes those offerings, saying to the people, I approve them. I accept them. I agree with them. And in response to God's acceptance, the people shouted and fell on their faces. There's nothing like giving God something that he accepts. But in chapter 10, the tide changed. Two priests messed up. They offered strange fire. Strange fire. Remember the word holiness? Set apart, marked off, different. Well, this strange stuff wasn't holy. Fire came down from God, but not for approval, not for acceptance, but for rejection and refusal. These two priests died. They died because they offered God something strange. Today, just like then, God has a program. I said God has a program. In Acts chapter 2, he authenticated his program. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. The church is not a program. It is the only program of God. It's the pillar ground of the truth. It was purchased with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has the preeminence. Just as God called the people to the tabernacle to meet him today, he calls his people to the local New Testament church. I'm not saying you can't meet with God in your house, but I'm saying that when we come together, there is an energy, moreover a synergy. When the people of God are gathered together in the house of God as the organism of God instituted by God to give God glory. Amen. Today we seek to worship God in a society full of perversion, immorality, one where false religion is prevalent and one where the devil has blinded the minds of people, convincing them into believing that walking, worshiping and witnessing for God can be done any kind of way. And it's sad to say, those notions have crept into the church. Boats don't sink because they're in the water. Boats sink because water is in them. Churches don't fail because they're in the world. They fail because the world is in them. And God is looking for some people who, by the grace of God, believe that the God of Leviticus is the God of 2017. Now, I'll preach fast if you help me, but I won't tell you on the behalf of Almighty God that still today, in July 2017, he wants the praise, he wants the honor, and he wants our worship, but you can't come anyway. You can't do it any kind of way. I don't care what churches are telling you. God still believes in holiness. I don't care what Hollywood's showing you. God still believes in holiness. I don't care who's popular. I don't care who can pulpiteer. I don't care who has a crowd. I'm simply saying God believes in holiness. And anything that's unholy, I tell you, it's strange fire. I want to preach a little while on strange fire. Amen. You say you're preaching to the choir. No, some of you are not the choir. We keep it real. You can join the choir, but at this moment, you're not in it. You got some strange stuff. Strange stuff. As custodians of the holiness of God, as pastors of local New Testament churches, we must stand on guard, blocking the devil and those being influenced by him from bringing strange fire into the house of God. It's a big deal. It's hard to see sometimes. It sneaks its way in. It's not always intentional. But the next thing you know, they got a microphone. They got a nice outfit on. They got a title, but they got strange fire. Strange. God said, I don't want it. I don't want nothing God doesn't want. Now, let me give you four things quickly tonight. Strange fire. Why did this strange fire happen in Leviticus 10? And why is it happening in July 2017? Well, number one, strange fire happened in Leviticus 10 because the consuming fire had not been sustained. The consuming fire had not been sustained. Now look in chapter number 6. Turn quickly with me if you would. In chapter number 6, God is giving principles about the burnt offering. God is giving principles about the fire. God is giving principles about maintaining the fire and that it is sustained. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Now you will recognize that when the initial offerings were offered, you remember where the fire came from. God sent the fire. That means there must be a receiving of the supernatural. Churches seem to have fire, but if it ain't fire that came from God, it will not last. Our choirs need supernatural fire. Our preachers need supernatural fire. Our Sunday school teachers need supernatural fire. Our deacons need supernatural fire. Every ministry leader needs supernatural fire. And if it's not supernatural, it won't last. So you receive it. But notice what he says. Once you receive it, don't let it go out. Come on. He said, don't let it go out. It shall be burning. And notice he says, verse number 13, it shall never go out. Verse number 12, it shall not be put out. You say, Pastor, if we've received the supernatural, how do we keep the fire sustained? Well, after you receive the supernatural, you got to remove some sin. Notice what he said in verse number 10. He said, once that fire comes down and once it's burning, verse number 10 says, you got to take up the ashes. You see, any fire that's got too many ashes in it gets clogged up, and a fire can't keep burning as long as it's clogged up with ashes. If you're here tonight and you want the fire of God burning in your life, you don't need an organ. You don't need your favorite song. You don't need a drum beat. You don't need somebody to give you some money in your hand. You need to keep that sin out your life. Your fire didn't stop burning because your church is bad or your finances got messed up or you're going through a lull in your life. Your fire stops burning when it's clogged up with ashes. Removed ashes. Amen. Not only the removal of sin, notice the regularity of scripture. Verse number 12, he says, don't just remove the ashes, but you got to replace the wood. I mean, yesterday's fire won't burn today unless you put in some new wood. Amen. I didn't say programs, I said wood. Come on. I didn't say new ministry. Church has got so many ministries. Baseball ministry, coffee ministry, Krispy Kreme donut ministry. And you think that's going to attract people? Listen to me. That may make them make noise. That may make them look good. That may make them fill up a pew, but there's nothing that keeps a fire burning like the wood of the Word of God. I want to say tonight, I'm thankful that the wood still works. Hey, give me the wood. Amen. All scriptures give my inspiration of God. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the Word of God shall endure forever. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is true. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Blessed is the man that walketh on the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yeah. Timothy, preach the word. There's something special about the Bible. Yeah. God didn't take 40 men over 1600 period time and produce a manuscript inspired, inerrant, and infallible for you to set it on your shelf, for you to grab it when it's convenient, for you to pick it up only when you come to church. I want to tell you, there's something special about this book. I'll tell you why churches have lost their fire. They've replaced the Bible with programs, with entertainment, with pride-infested scenarios. Somebody get back to getting under the spout where the glory comes out and preaching the word. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the preaching in the church. I'm talking about your own personal Bible time in your house. Amen. Your choir members can't sing the fire into your life. Read your Bible. Amen. You young men, read your Bible. Don't fall in love with the affectations of ministry and the personality of ministers. Fall in love with the master of the Bible. They must remain in the sanctuary. Verse 12. Stay there. Don't put the fire on autopilot. Stay there. Stay there. Amen. You want to keep the fire burning? Stay in the sanctuary. Stay in church. Don't miss it. Don't skip it. Don't schedule things during it. Be in church. I don't have to elaborate on that. Pastor Patterson preached that so well this morning. The only thing wrong with that message was some of you didn't hear it. You need to hear it. We're just bringing back up here to preach it here at Crossroads Baptist Church and all of your churches. You ought to have them preach it there too. Yeah. About faithfulness. Yeah. Stay in the sanctuary. Yeah. You say, preacher, what keeps you going? Signing Bibles, what keeps you going? Your picture on the internet, what keeps you going? Your Facebook fan page? No, I'll tell you what keeps me going. Knowing that there's a group of people, regardless how many miles I traveled, how many Bibles I signed, and how many pictures I took that week, they're expecting the man of God to have something fresh from the Word of God every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and when. I don't just come to church because I need to tell y'all what you need to do. I come to church because I need to find out what I need to do. The consuming fire has not been sustained. Number two, the current fire is from the wrong source. Yeah. Nadab and Abihu, fleshly ministers. Fleshly ministers. You say, how you know? Because of what they did. Well, no godly people have done that. And I'll tell you where we got a lot of strange fire in churches. And when I'm talking about ministers, I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about the word minister about means servant. A lot of people that are serving that are fleshly. I don't know, Anita, we'd have to check, but I think this is July. I think we've done 15, 16 funerals here this year, and maybe one or two of them were church members. We're known as the funeral church. News goes around. They call me and say, "Well, I hear you do a good funeral." What they're really trying to tell me is we heard y'all don't charge. That's what they're saying, but they ain't gonna say that. But we don't charge. And a lot of times they get here because Reverend Shoyfe is up the street and around the corner. They got so many fees, a fee for the preacher, fee for the organist, free for the caterer, free for the man opening the building, free for the piano player, free fee for the choir. And by the time these broke families pay all those fees, they can't even bury their loved one. So they call us. And we bring them in here. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There are some things that happen during a funeral, and some people that come on the platform, and some things that slip out and happen that I couldn't stop, I couldn't foresee. And I don't even really get bent out of shape out of it. Because I know as bad as everything was up to this point, I'm getting ready to preach. And we're going to fix everything they messed up. I've had women walk up there and say, I'm Reverend so-and-so. And you, I know, okay, fine. You'd have gotten up there and stopped her. And then you'd have lost your chance to preach the gospel to everybody else in there. I'm not saying I was for her being up there. I'm just saying she be gone in a few minutes. One lady sat up here with her husband. The husband asked to come up. Next thing you know, she was sitting up there. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, Brother Reddick, don't live stream it. Yeah, don't live stream it. I mean, some folk walk in here. I mean, the stuff people wear. The funerals. It's a wonder the dead person don't sit up and say. I mean, I could just imagine somebody just dead going, I can't believe you put that on. I don't ask the family what they're going to wear before they come to the funeral. I don't know. I don't ask them everybody that's going to get up in their family. I mean, we had some people sing some songs, and I'm like, Lord have mercy. And I seen some folk get up at funerals and sing, and I could tell when they started walking that, I didn't stop him because it's a funeral and lost folk. And I'm getting ready to give the gospel. And I seen some of them that, Brian, is there a problem with this microphone? Okay. All right. How about now? All right. See, I told you I'm all, they text me during the message about my own microphone. And I look down at it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't police what happens in funerals because it's not my responsibility. But these ones up here, you ladies sitting in these chairs, you ladies sitting in these chairs, and you men sitting in these chairs, I am trying to police that. And I make trips to the choir room sometimes. I do. And I say, stuff need to be longer. Stuff need to be higher. I don't have Facebook, but I got spies. Facebook wouldn't be spiritually beneficial to me. But I got spies that I'm not going to get off Facebook, so while they're on there, they might as well help me out. So I don't see what people do on Facebook and what they wear, but my spies do. And so I preach about it. You say you get everybody right? No, but I try. I try. You say you're one of these people that, and Pastor Simmons talked about standing. I'm not going to hit on. I'm just simply saying, you're going to have a hard time ministering to me if you're fleshly. You see, you look up at this platform, and you see me looking down the whole song. You know that somebody up there it looks fleshly to me. I'm just giving you little codes, okay? Because I'm into the song. But when I got to look down, because the words don't match the wardrobe. But I don't think you ought to be so nitpicky, but I wouldn't if it wasn't God's business. This is God. I mean, I'm nitpicky about myself. I don't read magazines. My wife don't read. I don't watch commercials. I don't counsel women by myself. I mean, I'm hard on me. You think I'd be easy on you? I'll stand before God one day. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm a fighter. Fleshly ministers, frivolous manufacturing. Well, they let the fire go out that God started, so they got to whip up their own. Go get some incense and go stir it up. Stir it up. I go to church sometime and watch people try to stir up stuff. Stir up. And they ain't all black churches. Then they start telling you how to worship. Some of you in here, if you ain't standing up and waving your hand, some of the people standing up are the most wicked people in the building. Now, Crossroads Baptist Church, tell you, I'm not putting on. I don't have a problem with waving hands, but I tell our folks, if they're not holy, put them down. Put them down. Put them down. I'm not for hey, ho, I'm not for that. Not if you're not living for God. Amen. Why? Because you're trying to whip up something. Fire comes from God. You don't just throw in your own little incense, hold the mic a certain way, dip a certain way, slur a certain way. Come on, hit a certain chord to stir it up. No, my job is not to stir anybody up. My job is to preach the truth. Amen. And if God can't stir you up, he probably is telling you, you got too many ashes in your fire.
Yes.
We better take God serious. Forbidden methods, which he commanded them not. That's enough. That's a blanket statement. They were doing stuff God said don't do. Ecumenicalism. I'm all for compassion, but some people I can't lock hands with. If they don't believe Jesus is God, we can't lock hands with them. If they think Allah is God, we can't lock hands with them. Come on. If they think Buddha is God, we can't lock hands with them. If they don't believe the right Bible, we can't lock hands. I had a guy that he don't even like me. He don't even know me because he thinks I got him kicked off a preaching schedule. Somebody told me that that guy doesn't like me because I got him canceled. And then said, you going to call him? I didn't call him. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
He should call me. But you can tell him that I didn't get him kicked off preaching schedule. I tried to take myself off preaching schedule. And to keep me on the preaching schedule, the guy in charge of it canceled him. Because I called him and said, somebody on that schedule that I'm preaching with doesn't use the King James Bible, and I'm not preaching there with him and have my people telling me I'm running with somebody that does something I told them not to do. So they tell me the guy thought that I would bring more teenagers to the conference, so he kept me and canceled the other guy. That's not my problem. If he would have kept him, I'd have canceled myself. I don't care if I wouldn't preach anywhere else for the rest of my life. I got enough work to do building Crossroads Baptist Church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I don't need to sign another Bible. I don't need to be on another flyer. Just give me a congregation at 5811 Hoffman Lane, and let me stand up every day and tell our church that I believe without apology that God stands for holiness. Ecumenicalism, emotionalism, experimentalism. I'm for spiritual singing. I'm not for sensual singing. When you sing in church, we ought to be telling, no, you singing to the Lord and not to your boyfriend, your husband. I'm not for it. Our people know it. I'm not saying they all get it right, but they know it. I don't get everything right. But I know when I don't. And I deal with it. And I want you to. I want you to deal with it. We're talking about serving God. I'm talking about fire from the... We had some folk tonight in the conference choir. You all think about getting in the Crossroads choir after the conference is over. Amen. I'm not going to bug you about it that much. What's something about the fire of God? I'm going to tell you, I don't care if I'm at a church and every once in a while these preachers say, preacher, we're so glad you come to our little country church in the woods. I said, what is that? A little country church in the woods. If it's a church, it's God's church. Yes. Matter of fact, I'm starting to fall more in love with them kind. Some of these, like my granddaddy say, some of these big humdingles ain't worth going to. Every once in a while, it's good to go somewhere where they're not so polished. Yeah. Amen. And not so practiced. Amen. But they're interested in the fire of God. Amen. May God help us. I want these fellows. I want these young boys. I want Tyreek and Richard and Deontay and Moses and all these other boys around here to know that our pastor believes in holiness. And if we don't hit the right notes, and I think you ought to hit the right notes if you can. And if we don't have the parts down, you ought to practice and get them down. You shouldn't be up there singing if you didn't practice. This is for God. But you can hit them all right and hold them all long and inflect it all in a very skilled way. But if the fire of God's not on you, shut down somewhere. It's not American Idol. It's not The Voice. It's not America's Got Talent. This is the church. Let the church be the church. Number three, I'm almost done. Consuming fire has not been sustained. The current fire is from the wrong source. Number three, the Christian is not serious. I don't have time to look at all at verse number eight, chapter number eight. But according to chapter eight, verse number six, Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them. First of all, they needed to be fully separated. Amen. Amen. I mean, if you get all fixed up to go to work, why don't you fix up to come to church? And I'm not just talking about your outfit. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your heart. I mean, clean up. Clean up. We got to work so hard to get people to the altar because they didn't go to their own altar before they got to church. Clean up. I mean, if you get up in the morning and take a shower for your body, take one for your soul. You don't listen to good preaching well when you got sin in your life. You don't worship God well when you got sin in your life. You say, oh, yes, I do. I said worship. I didn't say wave. You can go down the corner and wave. That doesn't mean worship. I'm talking about falling before his presence. Amen. And by the way, I've learned that some people shout and yell and some people worship in their heart. And it's not up to me to decide which one's right. I'm just telling you, make sure you worship. I've heard these folks say, some of you ain't standing up here, and if you ain't standing up, you don't love the Lord. And I want to say, some of you standing up need to sit down. I've had some times where God hit my heart. I couldn't even shout. I was so embarrassed at the glory of God. I couldn't run around nowhere. I couldn't wave my hand. I wanted to fall down and say, what in the world are you and I doing in the same place? Fully separated. The Urim and the Thummim, verse number 7, that's where they got the message from God. That's where God gave them direction. You must be in fellowship with the sovereign. In tune with God. In sync with God. Well, I sure hope the pastor got something from God. I sure hope you got something from him too. Well, I can't wait to hear what the choir is singing this morning. What are you doing this morning? Not just us, all of us. Filled with the Spirit, anointed. Verses 10 through 12, verse 33 through 36, focused on service. We're in chapter number 8, that's where we are. Isn't it amazing that after the priests were consecrated, they stayed in the tabernacle for 7 days? Hey, get your mind right before you go out there, fellas.
Yeah.
Well, you turn the NBA finals on, you watch those guys walking in the stadium. Championship game. Some of them got headphones on. They don't want to hear nobody. They not stopped by any fans. They're walking in concentrating. They sit in that locker room and they're quiet. They're not jumping around. They're not running around. This is game time. This is a championship. We need to take some quiet moments away from everybody and get focused.
Yeah. Good.
That's why early in the morning I'm up on Sunday morning. And I tell folks, I like to get here before the sheep get here. Watch them come in. Get myself. I don't like to go into church rushing in and all flustered. I like to sit down for a little while. Get my thoughts together.
Yes.
I'm getting ready to represent God.
Hey.
I don't be going up there titty bopping and rushing into this without thinking. Do you do that before you sing? Do you do that before you sign? Do you do that before you teach? You fellas do that before you preach? You're too busy tucking your pocket square in and matching. That's nothing wrong with that. But what about focus? What about focus, church? I mean, this is the work of God. Let me close. The consuming fire has not been sustained. The current fire is from the wrong source. The Christian is not serious, and when that happens, the consequences are severe. Well, it doesn't matter. As long as they think I have it together, I can get by.
No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah, you may think you're getting by, but I'm the one that your kids are calling.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I hate the ministry.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I've seen my daddy fake it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And now we got a whole generation of millennials
that
are vowing not to be independent Baptists.
Yeah.
And before we take our Pharisaical eyeglasses and condemn them from walking away from the faith, maybe we ought to get a mirror and look at ourselves. They are tired of fake. They are tired of untouchable leadership. Amen. They are tired of rules without relationships. Amen. They are tired of unapproachable pastors. And they're tired of carnal ministries. You say, but they went to a carnal ministry. Yeah, because you lulled them into thinking it was fine.
Good.
And then we go up there and blast them from the pulpit. Left hill, ungodly people. They all out and say, check yourself. So if I don't want to lose my family. Lose my kids. I tell my girls now what modesty is. And what sorry boys are.
Yeah.
And stand at the door in the bedroom when the girls are taking a bath. Tell the boys, don't come in here. We don't want you seeing your sister when you're 10 and 12. So you think the next thing you know you're looking at pornography. You say you're blocking the door? Yeah, I'm blocking them from coming in and I'm staying away from looking myself. I don't bathe them myself. And don't travel and take the girls with me. Daddy, why don't you go out of town and you only take the boys? Because girls don't need to go stay with daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
My baby over there, Carmen, I wake her up in the middle of the night. She half sleeps. She's pulling her nightgown down in her sleep.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
We don't have it all together, but we're trying to teach them.
Well, that ain't a big deal. You know, it's all caught up in pulling the nightgown down in her sleep.
I tell you what, if she can't learn to pull it down in her sleep, she's going to have a hard time pulling it down when she woke. And now we got girls that pull it up. Trying to teach our boys about seriousness. Why? They didn't have a choice about going out to eat on Sunday. Now you're going to go sit down and you're going to listen to Dr. Halsey and Mrs. Halsey and Dr. Clayton and Mrs. Clayton. You're going to sit at a dinner table and you're going to listen to these men and women of God. Because 20 years from now, when you're standing in a pulpit, you'll be glad daddy made you do it. Because this is serious. I have 4 or 5 preacher's kids on my prayer list now. Listen to me. Listen to me. They're not all walked away from God. Some of them are homosexuals. And their parents are heartbroken. And I'm not telling you that their parents were all wrong. I'm just telling you that the kids offered strange fire. And the consequences are severe. What consequences? Supreme rejection. I mean, offering God something he turns down. You mean I could be preaching and everybody loved it and God hated it? Singing and they clapped and God booed? Everybody could be running to the altar and God could be out of the building. That's scary. My mama put the fear of God in me. Amen. She said, you lie, you're going to get beat. Because it's a character problem. I'm not a liar. Everybody's lying in their life. I am not a liar. A lying is it's hard for us to be friends if you're a liar. I'm just telling you. I got the love of God in my heart, but I'm just telling you, I love you, but from a distance.
Yeah.
Liars cannot be trusted. Cheaters. You lie to God, you rob God. Amen. Supreme rejection. Subsequent repercussions. They were dead. God killed them. And a strong reminder back in verse 10, God said, I will be sanctified. I will be glorified. I will. Watch, could I translate that 2017 vernacular? Here's what God said. Don't play me. You ain't going to play me. Jacob! You fooled your daddy. You fooled your brother. You fooled your father-in-law. But here at Peniel, it's you and me, Bucko. And if you want a name change, don't play me. What's your name? I will be sanctified. In who? Every choir member. Every usher. Every deacon. Every pastor. Oh, I will be. One way or the other. Watch. 2017 vernacular, God said, I'm going to get mine.
Yeah.
You don't have to give it to me, I'll take it from you.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to give it to me, I'll take you out the picture.
Yeah.
Me included. God don't need me.
Yeah.
Fundamentalism doesn't need me.
Right.
Crossroads doesn't need me.
Right.
God can find him a pastor.
Right. Okay.
I need God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not a joke to me. It's not a joke. I go to the mall sometime and I see men with rings on their fingers lusting. Sickening. Listen, some of these folks, the way they talk, where they act. Some of these Christian singles in churches and the places they go. It's dumb enough to go there. It's Brother Gilmer said, it's stupid to post it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for that definition. Once you find a definition of a word, the best way to sink it in is to start using it more. Then you really know what it means. That means sin is so casual. We not only do it, we broadcast it. And then preachers, they don't broadcast their sin. They just broadcast themselves. Somebody told me, well, you ain't on nothing. You ain't on Twitter. You ain't on Facebook. You ain't on Snapchat. You ain't on Instagram. What do I need to brag about me for?
Yeah.
I just wasted ink on my shirt. I just wanted to let the world know. I had Jamaican food last night, and I got diarrhea. And I want all those whose Bibles I've signed to know I'm human like you. These pages and these... Man. Well, I'm finished. I'm serious. We got a work to do. Man. Listen. We can have the fanciest websites, the most decorative facilities.
Yeah.
I mean, we can have the most jamming choirs, the most talented members,
that's right,
the most gifted preachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But if we ain't holy,
yeah,
the church can't be the church.
Right.
And I may not have a lot of things together, but I believe in the holiness of God.
Right.
Yeah. I can't compromise on it.
Yeah, don't do it.
I can't do it.
It's
not even an option. I mean, it's not even a multiple choice.
Yeah, yeah,
it's just not. See, the moment it's an option, then you start considering it. You gotta fight it. Fight it with yourself.
Yeah.
If you'd been, listen, if you'd spend more time beating yourself, your flesh up, you'd save the pastor a whole lot of heartache.
I can't believe he said that to me.
Hey, I've never had a preacher say to me worse than I've said to me. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Look it up in the Greek. I give myself a black eye. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Lest that when I have preached to others, I myself should be. Paul said, I don't want to get up there being a fool preaching to people, and then they come up and say, yeah, you're preaching, and we know what you're doing. No, you don't. No, you don't, because I'm so busy knocking myself out every day. That's what he's saying. Why? This thing about holiness. Anything else? Anything else? Strange fire. Our Father, help us. Help me, help all of us. We got so much to do. I mean, we're under attack. We're bombarded. We got people in this building tonight. They're sick. Their marriages are under attack. They're broke. Young people trying to hold out for the right spouse. I mean, just but this thing, this holiness thing, it's non-negotiable. Can't compromise. Your choir member today, just say, Lord, are you talking to me? If you're a teenager today, if you're a single adult today, just say, Lord, are you talking to me? God, I don't want to throw anything strange at you. I'm preaching to me, all of us. God said, don't play me. I'll not be mocked. I'm just saying, it's got to be serious. Stay on our kids, stay on our churches, stay on ourselves. How serious is worship to you? Is it just about the notes, the words, or your heart? There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. If you made me worthy, why I want to be dirty? God's too good. He's too important to play games with. Do you fellowship with the Savior? Are you fully separated? Are you filled with the Spirit? Or are you scandalous, fleshly, frivolous? Are you forced to counterfeit fire because you're not willing to pay for the fire that God gives? How much does it cost? I'll tell you what it costs. Your body, a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't come to church just to get right. Come because you are right. These young fellas up here, God help them. God could be calling some young men to preach in this building. these preachers here. God, help us stay clean, stay right. Let's stand together if you're not praying. Listen, we have to fight it, because everything that the world does is against what the Word says. The system of the world. The thinking of the world, the ideology of the world. It's getting harder. But it's worth it. Guys, girls, it's worth it. Talk to God as long as you have to. You fellas can have all the dreams in the world about being a great preacher one day. But if you're dirty before you get there, you won't ever get a chance to be it. I'm not saying God can't clean you up. I'm just saying if you walk away from God before your dream fulfilled, what good was the dream? Right. And if you're not called to preach, you're not less of a Christian. Just be a clean Christian. Because it takes clean Christians to make clean preachers, clean husbands, clean wives. You keep praying. A lot of strange stuff going on out there under the name of God. I mean, Nadab and Abihu at the tabernacle doing that nonsense. There's a lot of nonsense going on in churches today. People think just because God hadn't burned us up, that means he's pleased. Oh, he's taking notes. He's keeping records. He hadn't missed a beat. Father, thank you for what you've done. God, help me to live a yielded life to you, all of us. Churches. There'll never be a day where being holy will be easy. But there'll never be a day where being holy is not expected either. After all, Pastor Simmons said, there's two of us. And if we let you save us, then why don't we let you sanctify us so we can let the church be the church. We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen.